Hello pets, it's Zeta Midnight here, and this is my, excuse me, my AMA, my responses to my Ask Me Anything part of the 500 Palace Nobles celebration. Before I begin, I just wanted to say again, thank you all so much for being with me and supporting me and being around in the palace. It truly is humbling. 500 people, it's not a small number. And since beginning the celebration, sorry it's been so spread out, by the way. I'm not at my best organized right now. But since even talking about that, there have been even more subscribers and followers. And it means so much to me. So what I'm going to do... Oh. Excuse me, I don't actually have the questions. 1 second. This is what I said about being organized. Oh my gosh, no. My laptop's playing silly buggers. There's my desktop, okay. Palace Nobles. AMA question. I'm so sorry. Okay, so I have a little collection here of... What have I got? I've got a couple of anonymous questions and boopy doopy doop, and then some other questions which are not anonymous. excuse me, that's my chair. So I'm going to spread them around a little bit and go on from there. I think I've got all of them. I truly am sorry if I've missed your question. I'm also going to have another look as I'm recording to make sure that I haven't missed anything, because I know full well what I'm like. So, here we go. Oh, actually, bear with me a second. I just need to get my tea. If only you guys could see my workstation, pets. It's ridiculous. I have this really cute, like blue with a cat face, pad that I can put in to my laptop, and it's actually like a hot plate. Well, I say a hot plate, it just gets a bit warm, frankly, and the idea is that it keeps my tea warm while I work. I have used this, oh dear, I've used this pad with varied degrees of success, but I'm going to try it now because the last thing I want... Actually, let me just pop a piece of paper under it so I don't burn my desk. The last thing I want is cold tea, you know? Who wants cold tea? Although, to be honest, most of my teas can be consumed cold, which is lucky because most of my teas are, in fact, consumed cold. Okay, there we go. Right, done. So, question number one. Did I write that correctly? Because I don't think I did. Turmericab. Let's say yes, I said that and wrote that correctly. Okay, so assuming you watch Doctor who is your favourite doctor and favourite companion? I argue about this all the time, okay? I am not a... I'm not a Doctor Who purist. I came to it very late. I pretty much didn't pay any attention to the franchise at all. Well, I'll say franchise, to the series at all until David Tennant became involved. I wasn't impressed with Eckerton, that bloke. Because I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know what it was exactly, and it was only because of David Tennant and his pretty face that I decided to pay attention. And oh my God, I am so pleased I paid attention at that time. But he's not actually my favourite doctor. And I realise, this is why I argue about it. My favourite doctor is actually Peter Capaldi. Okay, I'm not a purist, so I don't know anything about the original Doctors before the reboot, whenever it was that happened, now I can't keep track. But when I started watching, a la from David Tennant, I saw these different men bringing different facets to the character. And of course, since Capaldi, I've seen. Oh gosh darn it, what's her name? Ah! That's gonna bug me forever. Hang on. Doctor Who. Because that's a really good. What on earth is her name? Oh my goodness. Yeah, I can see her face like in my mind's eye. Ugh, ugh. What's her name? Something. Whittaker. There we go. Jodie Whittaker. Jodie Whittaker is her name. So yeah, I've seen her as well. But no, Peter Capaldi is my favourite Doctor, and I'm going to tell you why. Before he came in, no, not before he came in, because he was the Doctor that did it. I can't remember the name of the episode. I'm just not good enough for that kind of thing. But there was this episode where he was captured and imprisoned somewhere, and he ended up in this ridiculous time loop where he died over and over and over. No, he didn't die, sorry. He was punching through a crystalline wall, because it was the only way to get through to what he needed on the other side. And every day he would start the day again. And the first few times he did die because he didn't know what he was doing. He eventually learned he had to go through to this crystalline wall, and each time he got to it would have been completely fresh to him because he did not know until he started marking things down in the area that he was, and he knew that time was passing. And he was there for years, like punching through a crystal wall. Now, if you think about a piece of glass, right, a thin piece of glass, not difficult to punch through. Think about reinforced glass, somewhat harder to punch through. Now, magnify and widen and thicken that piece of glass by, well, I don't even know, 10 feet, 15 feet. How long would it take you to punch through it? Okay, and that's what he was doing. So millions and millions of years go by in this vein, and he's eventually making his way through to the other side, and then we get the rest of the series and yada yada yada. Peter Capaldi is the grumpiest, nastiest doctor of the lot, as far as I'm concerned. And with episodes like that in my mind, can you really question why? As I was going to say, as a human being, he's not. As a living creature, yeah, as a living being, he's been through so much shit. People have died around him. He's tried to save people and failed. He's tried to save people and succeeded, and then seen it all turn back on him. And, people are going after him. There is constantly shit happening to him. And I just felt like, after going through all that, with all that memory and time behind you, the lightheartedness of David Tennant and the quirkiness of Matt Smith, the combined pair of Jodie, it's not enough. He's been through too much. And I think that Doctor, that iteration of the Doctor, is where it finally went, do you know what? Fuck it. I've had enough. Everything is shit. I know it's shit. I can't fix it. I'd like to, but I can't. I'm just going to get on as best I can. And that is why Capaldi is my favorite Doctor. He played it beautifully, and I was devastated, devastated to see him go. Saying that, though, seeing a woman finally take on the part was very, very nice. But yeah, if I said she was my favorite, it would be because she is a she, and that's not reason enough. Oh, my tea is cold. The pad isn't working. Excuse me. Capaldi is my favorite Doctor. Companion? That's a bit harder. Okay. I liked Rose. Everyone liked Rose. I liked Donna. Everyone liked Donna. But, oh, what? Now I can't remember her name. She's in Guardians of the Galaxy now. Oh man, my Doctor Who foo is failing me so very much. Amy Pond, there we go. Oh my goodness me. Amy Pond is my favorite doctor. Doctor? Companion. One, I adore the actress. I think she's very good. And two, she, I feel like she had the most shit happen to her. It all seems to be about hardship and panic, but I just, yeah, I like Amy. And I think I also like the fact that she was, as far as I feel, the only companion who, the only female companion anyway, who had no, that's my stomach talking, who had no kind of romantic leanings towards the doctor. Yes, there was that bit before her wedding, with Rory, where she pretty much just throws herself at him. But that's not the relationship they had. If you think about Tennant's doctor and Rose, yes, very much so. Okay, and even Donna as well. Same thing. Martha. Yeah, but she didn't last very long, did she? So, yeah, Amy's the only one who didn't have that, and I think it allowed her to be much more interesting as a character, particularly because she was carrying Rory around with her, and he had his own arc of getting left behind and having to travel through history the long way to get back to Amy. I mean, how beautiful is that? Fucking beautiful. So, yes. Longest answer ever. Amy is my favourite companion. Capaldi's doctor is my favourite doctor. Phew, if I answer all of the questions in that amount of depth, we're going to be here for a while. Next question. Do you like spotted dick? I forgot about that one. Do I like spotted dick? Yes, I do. Read into that whatever you like. Here is the next question. This is an anonymous question. Anon, how clothed are you when you record? Okay. I am extremely clothed. And it kind of links in with the second question, actually, from this section of Anon. So I'm going to answer them together. How clothed am I when I record, and do I ever orgasm when recording an audio? The pair are linked, so allow me to go off on one again. Generally, I am clothed. I am in my office. I set up my office for recording. If I'm not writing, I record, and then I'm done. Unless I'm recording a challenge or a ramble fap, both of which are very, very rare, in that case, I may record upstairs in my bed, probably naked, because that's the point. I consider what I do. How do I say it without sounding pretentious? I want to say I consider it art, but I kind of do, but it also sounds like I'm blowing up my own ass here. This is, yes, it started as a hobby, and something I was kind of doing because I wanted to see if I could, and it was kind of fun. But since then, recording audio in this manner has become far more of a job for me. And it's something that I want to pursue on a more professional level than I am currently. I consider myself professional in that I am, You know, I have set working hours. I have regular admin. I have people who help me. I get paid for some of what I do. And I'm constantly working towards being better at what I do, improving my equipment, yada, yada, yada. So I can't treat these audios as fun. It doesn't stop me from treating them as fun because think about some of the audios I produce, pets. I can't possibly sit here as I am now answering these questions and not feel something, okay? And if I'm perfectly honest with myself, I might not come while recording the audio, but I bloody well will afterwards. Excuse me, because if I work myself up that much, you can't leave yourself hanging, can you? I mean, I don't get, oh man, I don't get turned on by my own voice exactly, but some of the stuff I'm saying and the way I say it, like, okay, stay with me, pets. If I decide to talk to you like this for a little bit and put myself in the headspace that comes with this particular voice, then something very interesting happens to my body, and I can't deny that I feel something when I speak this way. And if a script I'm working on, a script fell from elsewhere on Reddit, for instance, if it requires that I sound as though I'm having a very, very, very good time, then the reality is I can't completely fake that. I can't. It's just, hats off to anybody who can, but I am not that person. So, when I'm recording, I do remain clothed. There's also the fact that I have a family, my house is very busy, there's always people coming in and out. If I'm sitting here naked, someone's going to see something they don't want to see. I also have a lot of stuff coming in the post that requires me to open the door to the postman. I can't afford to be running around with no clothes on. I like my postman, but I don't like him that much. crap it. And do I ever orgasm while recording an audio? Yes, I do. It is not the norm. And those instances in which I have experienced an orgasm while recording an audio are usually because I'm not treating that audio as purely work. Okay. Zita's embarrassed. More tea. Okay. Thank you. Anons for those questions. Okay. Green 60 Tiger. I know your first question was a bit of a joke question, but given what's happening right now, will the Brexit issue ever be resolved? Fuck me, but I hope it will. But given how long we've been dicking about over this, I can't be completely sure. I try so hard to keep my political views off anything I do creatively because it's a minefield I'm not willing to traverse, okay? But I feel that it's safe for me to say that I am pissed off with the current government. I am pissed off with the way everything is being handled by the British public, to our MPs, by the media. I am scared about what this means for some of my friends who were not born in this country but live here and have done for very many years, and other friends of mine who were born in this country and now live in places like France and Spain and Germany, okay? I am worried about what it means for their lives and their families. I'm also worried about what this means for my family. Yes, we were all born here. No, we don't have any plans to move abroad, but when I think about a future where we don't have close ties with the European Union, I'm scared, okay? I am scared. And that's as deep into it as I'm going to go, okay? I know it was a joke question, but that's what you get. Thank you. Next question. Of all your fantasies, at least the ones in the realm of reality, is there one you would like to fulfill more than all the others? Fuck yes. Yes. Yes, there is. And a couple of them do come from... I mean, when I outline these audios and when I script them, they have to come from somewhere, right? People talk about writing what you know. It's one of the first pieces of advice that every author is given. And I agree with it to a degree. So some of these audios very much come from me and fantasy that I've had. Let's see, things like going down, or a night at my parents' house after the beep. Measuring up, that's another one. Or I'm trying to think of ones that you've heard as opposed to some that are in the works. Things like Something Different as well, that was a fun one. Even Pit Stop. I don't consider myself especially voyeuristic, but Pit Stop was a fun one. The idea that, you know, just having sex under a tree, it's sexy shit, okay? So yeah, stuff like that, yes, very much so. But given what my life is like on a day-to-day, my fantasies are a little bit different. So things like, this is actually quite tricky. Things like, things like, the sleepover series, or, even tip your waitress, or maybe even to some degree, tip your babysitter. Things that are a little rougher, a little nastier, a little kinkier, they are quite attractive to me as fantasies. But there is one in particular. I don't know why I'm getting shy. There was an improv I did. I don't do a lot of improv. Generally, I work from bullet points or scripts, usually scripts, because I make a point to write them for the sake of a cleaner audio. But there was one that I just thought, fuck it, I'm going to riff and see what happens. And it's called Tonight You Take It. And it's about feminization and pegging and fucking with an M-sub, and oh my goodness, if the opportunity came up for me to try that in that manner, I would be all over it. So if there are any volunteers out there, please let me know. Don't say things like that. Oh my god. Yes, that. Okay, thank you. Right, next question. Right, this one is from Rotten Pines. Hello, sweetie. Okay, what is my favorite type of erotic audio to perform? It's interesting actually because the stuff I prefer or I like to perform the most is not my more popular stuff, actually. If my vague attempt at collating stats is anything to go by, my femdom work is considerably more popular than my fem sub work. But I like recording fem sub. I like inhabiting a character who I like inhabiting a character who is having things done to them because it feels like more of a voice challenge, if you like. If you're working on a femdom audio, then yeah, if I'm working on a femdom audio, then I am in charge. I am leading the conversation. I am leading the flow of the plot. Generally, if I'm working a fem sub audio, the performance is guided far more by the plot than the character, because fem sub roles tend to be more responsive. Yeah? So from a creative and artistic standpoint, it's harder work to create an immersive and authentic feeling story when you aren't the one doing the driving behind it. Yeah? When it's a femdom audio, then I am the character that's driving everything forward, so it's much easier to keep up the pace, to keep up the momentum, and create a good story. In fem sub, unless they're written in a very specific way, you have to rely a whole lot more on your performance to move the story forward, and I enjoy that challenge. Because conveying a response, an emotional response, a physical response with just my voice is much harder than driving forward to generate a response. I hope that makes sense, sweetie. Yes, so I love working fem sub audios, and if it's possible to throw Supernatural in there, then I am all over that as well. Werewolves, magic, witches, vampires, particularly vampires, fairies, succubi. I want it. I want it so much, and I want more of it. Pretty please. I also have a very, well, obvious to me anyway. I don't know if it's obvious to anybody else. I also have what I feel to be an obvious leaning towards rougher sex and even rape scenarios. I did do a kind of off-script chatter about the rape tag, what I felt about it, and it kind of links into that. I want my audios to provide an experience for people to allow them to experience fantasies in a safe, controlled environment. Rape is obviously illegal and nasty, but through an audio that is safe and controlled, that you can turn off whenever you like, that you can skip forward or back on whenever you like, it's much, much safer. And it's a safe way for someone to experience that taboo kind of fantasy without endangering themselves. So I like doing that too. But insofar as favorites, I don't know. Yeah, I guess my favorite is fem sub. There we go. Woo! Da da da. Okay. I just need to do a quick double check for some more questions because I'm sure that wasn't everything. but my list appears to be incomplete because, like I mentioned earlier, Zeta is not organized. I've got that. But do I have those? Ha ha ha! Okay, so I have a couple more questions. That's why they're anonymous ones. So these came through on my form. Okay, so that's two more, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Next anonymous question. Why audio? That's a very good question, actually. On the surface, it seems very simple, but it's not a simple answer. Okay, why audio? I like sex. I like it a lot, and I don't always get it as often as I want it. This is why porn exists, okay? But porn, traditional visual porn, is very rigid. You don't get to make any choices. You don't get involved. I know there's POV stuff out there, which I don't really like, if I'm honest. And there is so much of it out there. It's unlikely that after a little bit of searching, you won't find what you want, okay? But it's not immersive. It's not something I can take part in. It's something I consume and then go about my day. Audio porn, particularly in the style you tend to find across Reddit subs, is interactive. Yes, it's a pre-recorded audio that you listen to, but the way they are created, you have space to interpret and get yourself involved far more than you ever possibly could with visual porn, and even with written erotica, yeah? But what audio and written erotica have in common is that it doesn't work without the input of your own imagination. And to my mind, that makes it so much more powerful and enjoyable. Because no matter what voice I'm listening to or what scenario it is, all of the details are mine to fill in exactly the way I want it, which makes audio erotica particularly even more satisfying. Because even in written erotica, you get given a description. You know, you are told how things are. In audio, there's no space for that. All you have is the voice. So you can decide what their facial expressions are, what they're wearing, what they look like, how tall are they. You know, you can decide what race they are. You can decide exactly where you are. Yes, it might be a dungeon or a forest, but is this dungeon, you know, a cold, dark medieval cell, or is it a clear, white and clinical holding cell in some medical facility? Is your forest bright and green, or is it a bit grotty and dark? Is it a young forest where the trees don't quite block all the sunlight, or is it a really old, creepy forest that's full of giant spiders, you know? All of that, you decide, and you can decide that for every single audio, unless it's a narrative piece, in which case you might be given more signposts as to what to expect, and you might be guided a bit more. But no, audio is so interactive, so personal. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is because I'm quite orally inclined. When I was younger, this might be showing my age now. When I was younger, there was a show I used to watch called Gargoyles. You may or may not know it. I think it was produced by Disney, and it was a small clan of bipedal winged creatures who would turn to stone in the day, and they would wake up at night because they had been cursed and their castle had been moved from Scotland to New York or something, and that turned them from statues into living creatures, blah, 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 blah. Basically, there was one character, a gargoyle called Goliath, and he was voiced by Keith David. Offhand, I can't think of anything that Keith David has been in right now, but seriously, just look him up just for a second and then listen to his voice. Okay? Listen to his voice and tell me you don't want to hit that. Even when I was younger, I appreciated sounds and voices. Okay? So I've been asked in the past who my favorite actors are, and my answers often confuse people because they're not what they expect. And then I have to explain to people it's a combination of their acting ability and their voice. So that list for me includes Keith David. It includes Ian Holm, John Gielgud, John Hurt, Christopher Lee. Oh my God, Christopher Lee, Patrick Stewart. Okay. And yeah, Judy Dench. Have you listened to Judy Dench speak? The woman is a goddess, okay? Viola Davis. Yeah? Scottish guy, Sean Connery. All of these people have really good voices. And I pay much more attention to that. That's my alarm going off telling me I've been talking too long. I pay far more attention to that than anything else at first. And then I start paying attention to everything else. How do they look? How is their acting? So yeah, I am incredibly RLE inclined. So if you blend that with my love of sex, I guess audio erotica or audio porn was almost inevitable. because I get to listen to some incredible voices and I get to experience some amazing things I wouldn't otherwise experience in the real world. And now I get to try it myself. I said earlier that I don't get turned on by my own voice because that would be weird, I think. Yeah, but the idea that other people do get turned on my voice is hot as fuck. Let's be real. So, that is why audio. All right. Thank you very much, Anon. Yes, I do have one more. Okay. This is my last question, pets. If you've made it this far, well done. I'm sorry I've gone on so much, but I figure if I'm going to answer these questions, I will answer them fully. So the last question here today is, will I ever do more F for F audios? Oh, honey. Yes, I will. Okay. That question, it didn't come through Twitter, so it must have come in through Reddit. Okay, so the short answer is yes. Yes, of course I will. The longer answer is a lot of my catalogue up to mid 2018 was all F for M. Aside from maybe one or two F for Fs. And somebody on Literotica pointed out that it was an incredibly uneven split. And when I did do F for F audios, they tended to be SIs or JOIs rather than something with plot. And I was horrified because that's not something I'd intended at all. I'd always intended, insofar as being any sort of organized, to be as inclusive as possible. The idea that I don't cater for women is just ludicrous because I'm bi. I fucking love women. Women are sexy, okay? It just naturally fell out that way and I got a bit cross with myself. So I started producing more FRF content. However, my posting schedule here is such that I'm posting a lot of my old stuff first before I get to my new stuff. And there is a lot more F4F audios in the more recent end of my catalogue. Okay? Like, in fact, I think there's one going out today, isn't there? Yeah, Taming a Brat. Right. So on my Patreon, I do exclusive audios every month, and I alternate FRM and FRF. I've fucked it up the last couple of months, but that's by the by. So this month I'll be doing an exclusive FRF, and today's audio on Patreon is another FRF. And I also think, yeah, so today, no, I'm getting that wrong. Yes, it is. So yeah, today's one is an FRF, and tomorrow, not tomorrow, beg your pardon, next week on Literotica, no, week after that, sorry, is another FRF one. Yeah, so they do exist. They're just taking a while to come through, because what I want to do is balance my catalogue as much as possible. So, like, my Patreon gets all the newest stuff before anybody else, unless it's a script fill. If it's a script fill, it doesn't go on Patreon because I'm not allowed. It feels really cheeky. So it just goes straight to Reddit and you will find it here, right? If I've written it, it will start on my Patreon, then it will go to Literotica, then it will come here to Reddit, and it goes in that order. But there is a delay. Whoops, I've just turned my torch on. But there is a delay because I started on Reddit so much later in relative terms than I did on Patreon or Literotica. So, yes, honey, yes, I will do more FRF audios. There are more coming. You just need to be a little bit patient, I'm afraid. I do have some FRF script fills coming up. I've had one of my people search them out for me. Thank you, darling. You know who you are. So yeah, there are more on the way, and I tend to post my script fills on a Saturday or a Sunday. Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays are my scripts that I've written. And they go first to Gone Wild Audio, and then a few months later they end up on Audible. Audible, yeah, Gone Wild, Audible. Whew. And they will always come out here on the Palace of Midnight as well. So that's kind of how it works. I promise in my head and on paper, it's far more organized and sensible than how I'm making it sound. But yeah, the short answer is yes, I will do more FRF. Yes, they are coming. Please bear with me. There seems to be more demand than I anticipated, so maybe I need to think about jiggling my schedule a little bit and maybe doing a bit of shifting to make sure that these audios are coming towards the front of the queue. I don't know. I'll figure it out the next time I sit down with my calendar, okay? But thank you for asking and for bringing that up because it does keep it in my mind. Yeah, that. Okay. Wow, I have been talking for ages. I think I need to go. Oh, thank you, pets. Truly, honestly, thank you. It's so nice, being able to talk directly to you about stuff you want to hear, i.e. answering AMA questions. And it's something I'm considering doing more regularly because I don't feel like I connect with you as much as I might like, because I like talking to you, but I don't always have time to go through, private messages or instant chat. So something like this would be nice, but that's something for down the road. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for being part of the palace and becoming a noble. It means a great deal to me. There are more little treats coming up. Remember, there is the winner of the personal audio I need to announce, which I will do next week. There is also one more thing, and oh, stop that. There's also one more thing I need to get out there, which is an audio which will be exclusive to the Palace of Midnight. Again, as a type of thank you for being with me. But for now, I hope you've enjoyed the questions. Well, actually, I hope you enjoyed the answers. And I'll catch you again later this evening, I believe, for today's audio, today's Reddit audio, which I believe is called Escorting Mischief. All right. Thank you, everyone. I'll catch you soon. Mwah. Bye. Mwah. Mwah.